Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday, here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive myths associated with religion and politics, holding both of these institutions accountable. Also with patriotism and the media, holding those institutions accountable for their myths as well, even with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring while predicting how these events will shape our world. And today is a poster child for this mission of the program. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, not through faith or belief, since His is the lone, reliable voice in an exceedingly troubled world. Our phone number for those who would like to participate in this discussion is toll-free, 877-300-7645. I'd like to begin by encouraging our listeners to view a video. It was posted on YouTube. The publisher of the video is called The Second Draft, and second is the numeral two, The Second Draft. And the title of the video from The Second Draft is Aldura. It was published by PJTV, Pajamash Media. The URL for it is youtube.com/watch?v=3GEIT77ML(Y)4. The reason I'm encouraging folks to, and you can just Google it, YouTube, The Second Draft, Aldura, is that this is a very thoughtful piece that was presented to prove, demonstrate conclusively that the primary image in the second uprising by Muslims against Israel back in 1970 that became the moment, the image, to inspire a delegitimization of Israel as a country, the demonization of Israel as a country, the view that the Israelis were cold-blooded murderers and that they, this mythical people known as the Palestinians were just little children struggling for their freedom, and that the Jews were like the protocols of the elders of Zion, that ruse that was perpetrated by Stalin and Hitler, that the Jews were just bloodthirsty vampires trying to suck the lifeblood out of these poor people. Now, this video shows conclusively in an interview with the cameraman, in all the video that remains of that day, the positioning of other cameras that day, that the whole thing was staged, completely and totally fabricated from beginning to end, and that the shots that were fired in the direction of the boy, that none hit him, he did not die, and that the entire thing was staged for the cameras. The religion of Islam is so grotesque that it staged the death of a boy, separated the boy ultimately from his father, for the purpose of perpetrating a lie, that they were the victims here as opposed to the perpetrators of horror. It is worth seeing. It goes right to the heart of the deception of the news media and how the leading media outlet in France, France 2, knowingly perpetrated this myth. They were part of the deception. Knowingly, purposefully, deliberately. It is it's a must-see. I would strongly encourage you to go to The Second Draft, Aldura. I witnessed something late yesterday and early this morning as I was checking through my news sources at about shortly after 5 o'clock this morning that is an indicator of what is occurring around the world between religion, politics, and the media. and an integration of those three institutions to deliberately mislead for the purpose of controlling people, of creating the exact same result that America's witnessed in the Boston Marathon bombing, of Americans gathering together and unifying against a myth and totally and completely ignoring the truth. Not just ignoring the truth, running from the truth, denying the truth. The first article I'm going to read, this one is from CNN. It begins, "It's not clear how or why two men attacked a man believed to be a British soldier in the London neighborhood of Woolwich, but UK officials are already investigating it as a possible act of terrorism." Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of what happened in London yesterday, but a British soldier, and it's no question that you don't have to say he was believed to be a British soldier. He was a British soldier. He was walking out of a military compound. He was wearing T-shirts that showed his support of the military, part of the military. After he left the compound, the two men rammed him with their car, then pushed him in between their car and a night post, with their car completely dented in, blood all over their car. And all of this is being filmed. And then they jump out of their car with a butcher knife, about 10 to 12 inch butcher knife, and a cleaver. And they began to hack off the man's head while shouting Allahu Akbar. After the man is decapitated savagely in front of many onlookers, the man holding the 10 inch butcher knife and the cleaver, his hands and upper torso covered in the soldier's blood, walked to one of the individuals who was filming the event. Filming it, not coming to the aid of the victim, filming it. And he says, "Hey, don't worry." And he says, "I swear," in fact, it was the question if it was "we swear" or "I swear" by Almighty Allah, "that we will never stop fighting you. There are many Ayah, it's A-Y-A-H, it's religious statements throughout the Quran that says we must fight them as they fight us, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I apologize that the women had to witness this today, but in our homeland, women have to see the same. You people will never be safe. Remove your government. They don't care about you." So how can CNN say it's not clear how or why two men attacked a man believed to be a British soldier? It's known for a fact that he's a British soldier. The British have acknowledged the fact he was a British soldier. How they attacked is obviously clear. The man is sitting there holding, right in front of the camera, the butcher knife and the cleaver, covered in blood, describing how and why he killed. As for why, he says, "We did it in the name of Almighty Allah, and we will never stop fighting you." And then he said, "There are many verses in the Quran that says we must fight them." So how can the media begin their story by saying it's not clear how or why? A video broadcast by the UK network ITV purports to show one of the two attackers explaining himself to a camera immediately after the attack. Here, purports. The man, the attack is being filmed. The man walks from cutting the man's head off towards the camera, carrying the weapons, and then he explains exactly what he did. And that same man is in custody with hundreds of eyewitnesses. And they would say purports to be. Yes, his hands were covered with blood, the article says, a knife and a machete in his right hand. It's not a machete. If you look at the two weapons, one's standard butcher knife. The other is a cleaver, a meat cleaver. The victim's right there behind them on the ground. with a large crowd gathering in the background. I just read to you what he said. It is interesting that I listened to at least a dozen soundtracks of the filming of the man walking towards the camera. All the brutality of it was not shown by on any mainstream video. And the same thing is the beheadings of Muslims, beheadings by Muslims of non-Muslims in Iraq and Afghanistan. When they occurred, all the media says, oh, it's too gruesome for us to show you. Why? They didn't want to show you because here they're shouting out Allahu Akbar while the victim is pleading for his life, his arms tied behind his back, and these Muslims with smiles on their faces are slicing off the victim's head. The realization that this savagery is being conducted in the name of Islam is what the media doesn't want you to know. And so, in all of the videos, not a single one of them played the entire scene. It's identical to the France TV reporting in 1970 of the Al Dura alleged killing. Where, by the way, after the cameraman shouts out, the boy is dead, the boy is dead, this film that he did not show is that the boy raised his hand after after he was being pronounced dead above his eyes to peek out at the camera because the whole thing was staged. Well, in this case, I have done this in the name of Almighty Allah, and the savagery of the attack itself, they edited it out. Not suitable for people to see. You're only entitled to the information we're willing to give you. The eyewitnesses described the attack as a beheading. By the way, it cannot be a terrorist attack. You know, words used to have meaning. Why can't it be a terrorist attack? Who did they attack? They attacked a soldier. When you attack, when a militia or armed civilians attack a soldier, it's called guerrilla warfare. When militias or armies attack civilians, it's terrorism. This is a guerrilla attack. It's not terrorism. And yet we'll return to this story, and we have Larry on the line because there's so much shattering mess. I want to read one more comment. This one now is from the BBC regarding what transpired yesterday. London, it says, Prime Minister David Cameron said Britain would be, quote, absolutely resolute in the face of terrorism. Now, the fact is, this was not a terrorist act. You know, you have to be, if you're going to use words and describe things, use them accurately. Terrorism is when a government, an army, or individual militias, or just individuals, try to instill fear by attacking civilians. If you're attacking police, if you're attacking a military target or a military individual, it is not terrorism. And he vowed that security forces will not rest until they track down those responsible for the brutal hacking death of a British soldier in London. They already have the men under arrest. What in the world is this man saying? He went on to say that he condemned the horrific attack and said that it had nothing to do with Islam, despite the claims made by the two suspected attackers. Larry, it's worse than what happened in Boston, where every talking head, everyone said, "Oh, this is an act of domestic terrorism. This is some right wing wacko that has some beef, and that this is nobody ever, even when it became obvious that this was strictly two Muslim boys that lashed out because Islam corrupted them, even when they confessed that was the reason they had done it, still no one wanted to accept that. It became the lone wolf theory, that when they couldn't pin this on Al-Qaeda or any other international terrorist group, they simply said, well, this is now the new lone wolf theory, as if these were the only two Muslims in the world.
Well, here's what I think. I was just on the phone with David, who works for my company over in London. Well, actually, mm-hmm. right. And he told me that you can't even go into London now, for the most part. He says, you know, there's a couple of old areas of London that are safe. Everything else is just high crime. It's full of Pakistanis. They don't call it London Stan for nothing, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was there not too long ago myself, and when you, if you go downtown London to see any of the sites in downtown London, if you're not scared for your life, there's something wrong with you.
Well, and there's another thing here. You know, I saw this. I saw what they would show yesterday. And, you know, there they are. The English are not armed.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting as well is that, in fact, that's the point that I was going to make. The Piers Morgan show where they had Alex Jones on and Alex was, went into a rage. And so it made Piers Morgan look like he was the calm one and Alex was the idiot. But because Alex was trying to, Piers Morgan was trying to make the point that London was this lovely, safe place to be because there were very few gun related deaths in London, and yet
a higher crime rate than
and the murder rate in London is many times that of the United States. It's the worst in Europe, and it's growing up exponentially. This is a great example. This man was bludgeoned with kitchen utensils. But the other thing is, recently there's been this intersection of two lines that has been underreported in the media. One is that gun ownership in America has gone up dramatically.
And
violent crime rate in America has dropped appreciably. And the two things are related. I mean, it's just you can't avoid this connection. And the worst crime rate in Europe is in the U.K., and principally in the London, and the crime rate has gone up as they have made it harder and harder for individuals to own guns. There's a reason that there are hundreds of people watch this, and no one came to the aid of the soldier who was being hacked to death because no one had the ability to go out. I mean, you bring a gun to a knife fight, you're going to win, but no one was armed.
Well, the thing of it, what David was explaining to me today is that there's two groups they let in, you know, Pakistanis and Somalis and Moroccans, and of course Spain is full of Moroccans now, and also a kind of a criminal element from Poland.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But here's the going more into the story. So the scene of the gruesome killing, close to the Royal Artillery Barracks. So as I mentioned earlier, the guy was walking off of his military post, remained cordoned off. A video recorded by one of the two men immediately after the attack seemed to suggest a jihadist agenda. We swear by Almighty Allah, we will never stop fighting you. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're considering what happened in London. You know, it was just two Muslims acting badly. Both men, by the way, were Nigerian, which is irrelevant. It is going to become a issue because just as the Chernarevs were Chechnyan, they're going to blame the, you know, there's been this tendency to say, well, you know, there's some justification because the Russians have been bad to the Chechnyans. Well, you know, the Chechnyans, Muslims, began it. They became the most savage Islamic terrorists in the world, literally the most savage, with their Beslan school attack, the Moscow theater attack, and many, many, many hospital bombings. They became the most ruthless Muslim terrorists in the world, and the Russians responded to them with less ruthlessness than had been perpetrated against Russia. Well, in this case, they're Nigerian. They were born as Christians. They converted to Islam while in the swampland that has become London. And here they perpetrate this, saying that they did it in the name of Islam. They cite the Quran as the motivation for their attack. And yet the politicians want us to believe that there are no connections to Islam.
not just the politicians, but the press, which is why I don't get my news from mainstream press anymore. It's all a cover-up to me. I mean, I look at Prince Charles, you know, he urged that to follow the Islamic way will help save the world. So he promotes and advances exactly what's going on in London today.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's an Islamic sympathizer. There's no question about it. And the royal family is up to their eyeballs in this corruption.
Well, for lack of a better term, the NWO enjoys Islam because it promotes submission.
Yeah.
And submission is what they're all about. And, you know, the ruling class that is quickly destroying this planet and will destroy this planet for the most part, you know, they advance submission. You know, their goal is to stratify the society, to have, you know, the have-nots and the elite nothing in between.
You know, it is hard to explain how you could have people around the world in desperate type organizations, the media, politicians from around the world, as well as religious leaders, all singing out of the same hymn book when everything that they're saying is a lie. Here's a prominent Muslim who is quoted, I mean, throughout the press on this issue. His name is Anjem Qadari. He told CNN, and now it's interesting that they would go to the one Muslim who was going to try to deny the association with Islam, and they all went to the same guy, and they said, "Yeah, we knew the men. They came to the mosque on a regular basis, and the lead perpetrator, he called himself Mujahideen, which means Islamic warrior." Then you read Cameron and Britons would stand together to defeat the threat of violent extremism. So it's exactly the same thing as the liberal president in America, violent extremism. That's why Benghazi, he blamed the killing on the violent extremism exposed in the movie, as opposed to fundamentalist Islam. Well, the same thing is true here.
I have an idea there. I just like to throw this out there. Perhaps, you know, the IRS, you know, they could claim what they did because a video inspired them, a video of Tea Party activists.
Yeah, there you go. So you've got now a conservative politician in the UK singing out of exactly the same hymn book, calling this violent extremism, as opposed to fundamentalist Islam. This is not just an attack on Britain, on the British way of life. It is also a betrayal of Islam, Cameron said. Here's the leader. The perpetrator converted to Islam, claimed that he was perpetrating the attack based upon Islam, used the principal Islamic technique of beheading, and Cameron says, now here's his soldier, has had his head cut off because of a Muslim, and he says that it was a betrayal of Islam.
Not true.
And of the Muslim communities, he says, of the Muslim communities who give so much to our country.
Really?
Yeah, almost every terrorist attack in the UK that has been perpetrated or has been foiled in the last decade, Muslims. There is nothing in Islam, he says. This is Cameron. This is the Prime Minister of the UK. There is nothing in Islam that justifies this truly dreadful act. The fault lies solely in the sickening individuals who carried it out. End quote.
Well, that's not true.
Well, of course, there are thousands of Quran and Hadith orders from Muhammad and Allah to do precisely this. Rather than saying there is nothing in Islam that justifies this truly dreadful act, it would be closer to say is that everything in Islam motivates Muslims who are fundamentalists, who are following Muhammad's example to carry out this dreadful attack. Why would he lie on behalf of and support the perpetrator as opposed to the victim?
Because they want more of it. Look, let me ask you something here, Yada. You're a very bright man. I have to ask. You know, we're seeing the same thing in England that we're seeing in the United States, where we saw a Tea Party movement, people that had just had enough. And of course, you know, they've got a parliamentary system where the Liberal Democrats are nobody now. And the Tories, I think, are at 24%. But what would, I forget the name of the party, but it would be, you know, equivalent to a Tea Party, is now 23%. They're a major party out of nowhere. They went from like 3% to 23%. And yet we see the same things in the United States that we're seeing over there. Let's flood the country with immigration and pretend that the people who are the backbone of the economy, the working people, the business owners, don't exist.
Yeah, well, I'm not. You know, our politics are different, Larry. I'm not a Tea Partier. I don't support the Tea Party movement, and I'm not anti-immigration. And I don't see any correlation between the Tea Party and the events that are taking place in Europe. My issue with Europe is that here Muslims committed this crime on video. They were yelling Allahu Akbar as they committed the crime. Right. They cited the Quran as the motivation for the murder. It's all caught spontaneously on video. And then you have the president of the Prime Minister of Great Britain not only saying this has nothing to do with Islam, but exonerating Islam who murdered his soldier. And then you have the media all going along with that story.
Playing stupid. They're
not playing stupid. They aren't even stupid. They know the truth. They know that the Quran does do exactly what this man said it says. They know it says that. They know that that if you read any of the Medina surahs, which because of the law of abrogation replace everything that was revealed in Mecca, they are a declaration of war. They are a terrorist manifesto. They are ruthless. And they are open-ended, ordering Muslims to continue to lash out and kill non-Muslims until Islam is the only religion on planet Earth.
Yet the press turns a blind eye to it. That's why I say they're playing stupid. Again, they call it an act of terrorism. They call it a random act of violence. They can call it anything they want to call it.
But it's not a blind eye. No, it's not a blind eye. They're all deliberately lying. You know, a blind eye would be to say, you know, we're just clueless. A purposeful lie is to say this had nothing to do.
A little further, okay.
This has nothing to do with Islam. When it's like you know, you're watching the movie The Wizard of Oz, and you say, you know, don't pay the wizard behind the curtain. Say, don't pay any attention to what's behind the curtain. It's like Brave New World and Animal Farm. The whole concept of people being willingly conditioned, being indoctrinated to play along. And what's happening here is they're encouraging people, just like the President of the United States did, just like everyone in the media did. And you saw it immediately after the Boston bombings, where rather than condemning the law enforcement for bungling this, rather than condemning the media for falsely reporting what happened in Boston, everybody rallied around the flag and they sang the national anthem and they held hands and kumbaya, and it was absolutely revolting. The same thing is happening in the UK, where they're saying, oh boy, we're not going to be bullied by these extremists, by these terrorists. We're going to show that life just goes on. We're going to pay no attention to what's happening while everyone lies to us. We're going to ignore the truth that is right before our eyes. It's why I've said that religious and political people are so adverse to the truth, that if Yahusha were to stand before them and introduce himself and tell them, they wouldn't recognize him. They would deny him. It's that there is no amount of evidence and reason that will crack into the skulls of these numbskulls because they have allowed themselves, the vast preponderance of Americans and Europeans, have allowed themselves to be deceived. And it goes right back to the education process, which conditioned them to be accepting of mutually exclusive ideas, which means that being discerning and judgmental no longer matter.
Right, so which is also intertwined into the emasculated notions brought about in religious concepts like Christianity, too.
So you can be,
Don't judge anything. Well, I make judgments when I drive my car. If I don't make judgments, I'm going to end up wrecking into a guy.
So here's the problem. You've got the people listening to a confession that the man says, I did this in the name of Allah. I did this because this is what the Quran instructs us to do. And yet the vast preponderance of people are going to ignore that evidence and choose to believe that this had nothing to do with Islam because that's what they're being told. So they're going to ignore the evidence and believe the lie. It is like a Christian believing that the Torah has been replaced by the gospel of grace because they're going to ignore God's testimony in the Torah and just focus on Paul's proclamation. Ignore the evidence, and when you do so, you are really easy to play for a fool. That's what's happening in the world today. We're witnessing it in Britain. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're talking about the tragic events that took place in London yesterday. Tragic in that a man was beheaded, and rather than deal with the motivation for the crime, instead the citizens of the world, via the press, via their politicians, this time a conservative in Europe. So if you are, of that liberal conservative divide, this is something to think about. Here's a conservative politician using the exact same agenda that Obama used. In fact, he's even more belligerent with his lies, saying that there's nothing in Islam. Yeah, nothing in this man's religion that would have motivated this, saying it has absolutely nothing to do with Islam, that Islam was betrayed as opposed to a British soldier being betrayed. Glenn, I see that you would like to speak on the London attack as well. What's your perspective on this?
Well, you questioned, why Prince Charles would say what he said. I would suggest that the European royals are occultist chameleons, and that just as Albert Pike said in his letter to Mazzini for the Third World War, they're pitting the atheists and the Muslims against the political Zionists. And that all fits together rather well, actually.
Yeah, I've read the theories of how the royalty in the UK is part of the Masonic community and wishes to perpetrate a third world war. This one. Ingratiating Muslims to wipe out Zionists, the Jews. And while the evidence is really compelling, and most of it is in tune with what Yahweh predicts is going to happen. So revealing the motivations behind the perpetrators. As I think you've probably heard on this show, while Larry is fairly forthright in his support of the conspiracy of the elitists in this regard, I'm fairly mum on this, even though I have read the information, and I'm mostly mum on it, Glenn. So I'm acknowledging what you've said. I've read it. I've considered it. I see the evidence behind it, and yet I'm going to leave it as I'm mum on this, because when you speak, when a person begins to speak on the conspiracy theories, particularly as they flow out of the Order of the Illumes and Adam Weishaupt's writings and his usurping Freemasonry to serve his interests, and how that became the Jacobins and the French Revolution, and how the United States' formation with Washington being the highest ranking, he and Benjamin Franklin being the two highest ranking Freemasons in the country, and Thomas Jefferson being a Jacobin. You can put some pieces together and come up with a really unpleasant conclusion. But if and when a person does that, what little credibility they may otherwise have is squandered. Now, I don't claim that anything that I'm saying here is based upon my personal credibility. But what little credibility I have, I can't afford to squander by acknowledging the conspiracy motivations for these events. And so my preference is just to say, here's what's happening. The media is lying to you. Your politicians are lying to you. They are acting. they're acting in concert with one another. They're telling the same lie, which means they're coordinated in their deception. And so your media and your politicians and religious leaders are all coordinated in their deception. They are all lying to you in face of evidence that is obviously contrary to what they're saying. And so my conclusion is, then therefore you should not trust them. Therefore you should rely on what Yahweh said, which is to walk away from them and disassociate yourself from religion and politics and patriotism. And my preference is to leave it at that and not go the next step. But I'm happy to have you point out the research that you have done and how it seems to explain what's happening.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you look into the coronation ceremonies and all the symbolism behind that with the Brits, or if you come over to America and you look at the layout of Washington, D.C. by Charles Lindbergh, all that stuff. And you can just contrast the fact that unredeemed worldly with, you know, the wicked unredeemed worldly with those who seek to do, hear and do the will of God.
Yeah, here we're going to go to break here in just a second, Glenn. But if you look at a map of Washington, D.C., and you look where each of the monuments and principal buildings are, and the Masonic Temple in Washington, D.C., it is a pentagram that is symbolic of Satan and Freemasonry. We'll be back.